We're in a short series at the moment of the balanced Christian life. And last week we began with stopping, this week it's the Sabbath, and next week it's time. So when we thought about stopping, it was when Jesus was on his journey from Jerusalem to Galilee, and he stopped at Jacob's well. But the question was, what do you do when you stop? I won't go through all those points again. And today it's Sabbath. And you'll find that some of the things that I'll be saying over these three Sundays, there are recurring themes, inevitably. Now, the Sabbath is the one of the Ten Commandments that needs to be looked at differently. The other nine are about honouring God, or to do with obvious sins like lying, stealing, murder, which are equally as relevant to us as Christians as to Jews. But we're not as clear what we are to do with the Sabbath. Did it apply only to the Jews? Can we say that it is as true for Christians as it is for Jews? Is the Sabbath the new Christian Sunday? I don't think so. There are dangers of legalism when it comes to the Sabbath. The Sabbath has collected around it a number of negative connotations. It tends to be more about what I can't do rather than what I can do. This is certainly the way that I grew up. I wasn't allowed to go and kick the football outside the house. And I remember when I was good at football, actually, and when one of the coaches came to talk to my mother personally to ask that I could play on a Sunday, my mother gave him short shrift on the doorstep. I'm convinced that the richness of the Sabbath has been missed. Well, some Bible background. To understand the Sabbath, we need to go back to the creation story. God completed his work in 6 days, and then he rested on the seventh, the Sabbath. Why did God do this? Did he need a rest? Was he tired? Definitely not. Isaiah 40 tells us God never grows tired or weary. And in Psalm 121, we're told he never slumbers or sleeps. God chose to rest. It's as though he wanted to create a pattern for us so that each of us would learn that we also needed to rest in our labour. And the Sabbath gives us permission for our restoration. What's really good for us as humankind is that we're told that man and woman were created on the sixth day. And so the first day for us as humans was a rest. And the Lord was making the point that we are to learn to work out of our rest. And as we begin with the day of rest, and because we are rested, we can enter into our labour. I mentioned a book last week that I'd been looking at, which is called Working from a Place of Rest by Tony Horsfall. Now, what did Jesus say about it? It was because the teachers of the law had messed around with the Sabbath that Jesus had to correct it. They had made it so legalistic. If you go into many of the Jewish laws and to see how they did certain things so that they weren't working on the Sabbath, they go to such detail to try to get around this whole business. And it's even true today, of course, within some Jewish circles. They'd missed the point. So when Jesus says that he is Lord of the Sabbath, and that the Sabbath was made for man and man not for the Sabbath, he was not trying to abolish it, but he's reminding us that it was a gift from God for us to use well. Now, for us as Christians, Sunday is the first day of the week. I know we tend to think that Monday to Friday and then we have the weekends off. But actually, Sunday is the first day of the week. So out of our Sabbath, we are then to work. Out of our rest, we begin our work. In this series, I'm not suggesting that because we are busy, we have to stop and do nothing. On the contrary, we need to learn how to bring the Lord into our lives constantly, so that he is the one who is helping us and feeding us and keeping our relationship with him intact. Now, this is a big question and not easy to get right. And one of the people that has written quite a lot about the Sabbath is a lady called Marva J. Dawn. And I just want to use four of the points that she makes of what's happening when we enter into our Sabbath. And then I want to make a few points, a few tips of how we can help ourselves. So first of all, these four points from Marva. Making use of the Sabbath. It is first of all about ceasing. The word Sabbath means to stop, to cease, to desist. On this day we are freed from the need to work, to produce, to achieve. It's time to know that we are deeply accepted by God. He loves us and he accepts us as we are, not for what we do. We can be confident and trust in the sovereignty of God, free from anxiety and free from trying to run our own lives. Now, this, of course, is to run counter to our 24/7, every day is the same, and you need to make most use of every moment. Let me acknowledge that all of us can't use Sunday as our Sabbath. I can't. And some people have to work on this day as well. And so for Wendy and I, Fridays, both of us have Fridays off, doesn't mean that we forget about God. And actually, I probably spend a little more time in quiet time on that day than I do perhaps on other days. But I try not to do anything related to work. I try not to do, but sometimes things happen that's difficult. But I try not to do. I do other things so that I can restore myself in rest, but I'm not trying to just move away from every spiritual responsibility, because the main one is to be with God and to walk with him. So first of all, it's about ceasing. Then secondly, it's about resting. But how do you rest? It's knowing that you are secure in the grace of God. Now, you'll notice under all of these points I'm making, I go back to the Lord immediately. Under the first point, it's knowing that we are accepted by God. Under this point, it's knowing that we are secure in the grace of God. It's believing that God is at work in us and he's bringing to pass his purposes, and that we can trust in him and rely upon him. It's knowing that worship will teach us more and more about all that we have in Jesus Christ. It's this foundation which makes true rest possible. And it's not just rest for our bodies, it's rest for our minds and for our emotions. And that we don't have to fret about worrying questions, but to place ourselves in the hands of God. And then thirdly, it's about embracing. It's about embracing. To think afresh about the values of the gospel and all that Jesus has done for us in our lives. to be reminded again that we are his people and that it's an enormous privilege for us to represent him in the world. When we are not doing our work, we are still Christians. We're Christians all of the time, and we have the opportunity to be light and life and love to those who are around us. A time of worship with others, and to remember to share and to give, values that are very different from the world around us. Like a few of you, we had our Jubilee celebrations and we had our street party. And it was great, actually. Most of the people, I think all of the people that could come, came. People were on holiday, but I think pretty well everybody else came. And Wendy and I were just absolutely amazed how grateful people were. And they went out of their way to say, oh, thank you for doing this. And we've had cards and some gifts since then from our neighbours. Why do they feel that? Because I suppose not everybody wants to give. Now, I'm not doing that because you just want to give, but you're doing it because it's a good thing to do. But it's unusual, I suppose, in our society to be a giver and a sharer. We do it best out of rest, because we belong to him and because we're representing him. And finally, feasting. It should be a day which includes fun and festivity, which restores our soul. We can feast on good music, in worship, enjoy the beauty of creation. Often people go for walks on Sunday afternoons, share in fellowship and food with others, and experience the peace of God, which passes all understanding. And in the midst of that, we are being restored. We are being rested. We can take time. We can put our feet up. Now, I might be accused of idealism here and thought of as describing something that is impossible to attain in our 24/7 life. How can this happen for us? I've got three or four pointers here. Our enemy, the devil, will always want to lead us into legalism. You will have thoughts of condemnation. He will accuse you of being a rotten Christian. You will imagine that other people are doing things well, but you're doing things really badly. Satan loves to twist the gift that God gives to us and make it a burden on our shoulders. He will say that we are not doing enough. We're not praying enough. We're not sharing enough. We're not doing this enough. These are words of the evil one, and they come with a nag. God doesn't speak like that to his children. The Sabbath should not be a burden on us. And then secondly, please know that God has set his love upon you. You will never know the joys of Sabbath until you know that you are in the grip of the Lord. When it says that no one will pluck me out of his hands, that's what he means. A friend of mine used to end all his letters by saying, in his grip. We're in his grip. We're being held by God. And we're not just being held, we are just loved by him. We know the people that love us, and often we like to spend some time with them because we just feel that they're just pouring lots of love upon us. And it's easy to be with them. We feel valued by them. That's exactly like the Lord. When he said he set his love upon us, he meant it. He's not going to take his love from us. If you're deep in sin, he still loves you. He wants you to repent. But he has set his love upon you and sent his son Jesus to die for you. And then thirdly, take the Sabbath into the moments of the day. We don't have to just have one day a week when we pack all our resting into that 24 hours. Try to cultivate a spirit of being with the Lord in your thoughts. Turn anxious thoughts into prayers. There might be a few moments whilst you're walking to work or on the train or wherever it might be, and you can just use those moments to turn back to Him, think about Him, ask for His help. We're in days of technology where we can just listen to the Bible as we go along, walking along the road or in the car. There's so much technology these days that helps us. So use the Sabbath in the moments of the day when you can. And then the fourth thing, this is well-worn territory, this final point. I make it quite often, I'm just going to make it again. There is no substitute for a set time with God. And make it your aim to try to do that every day. You may need help to know how you can do that. Don't be afraid to ask other members of the church to say, how do you do that? How do you work out your time? Because if they don't have a time with God, they might be really embarrassed. But on the other hand, it's a good question to ask one another. When I was at Bible college, there used to be somebody, and I often used to find myself sitting opposite this chap at breakfast. I don't quite know why, but you know, when you came down independently, sometimes you end up at the same place. And he used to say, what did the Lord say to you in your quiet time this morning, Peter? And of course, I reeled off 3 or 4 points. Never. Yeah. A set time with God, if we can get it, is just essential. And I find the Lord woos us. I hope this is your experience. You just get a thought in your mind. You might have been busy all day. You might have come home. You might have had your meal. You might be sitting down to watch EastEnders. And the Lord says, come and spend some time with me. And sometimes we just ignore it. But He's wooing us, you see. He's wooing us. And He's doing it for our good. And you will have had those moments you think, I can go and do that now. And then something else crops up or the phone rings and you just lose it. And it's the Lord's time when He's wooing you back to Himself. So let's work hard at the balance. Let's close our eyes, shall we? Are you tired, worn out, burned out on religion? This is Jesus speaking. Come to me. Get away with me and you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me, and you'll learn to live freely and lightly. That's Matthew 11:28-30.